Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the stories that have gone on in Mac. And there's actually a few stories this week, which is kind of cool, considering last week's was a bit of a dearth. Sorry about the random post in the shows, but I found a Mac Show that I hadn't posted, and I thought I had. So that's what the lost show was. It just kind of got in there, and then all of last week's shows were posted on Tuesday. And this week's shows, I'm hoping, are going to go up this weekend. And then next week, we've got the Christmas quiz on Thursday. So we'll see who's going to turn up for that one. Joining me, absolutely fantastic panel. We've got a few out. So Patrice has got a meeting. Doc is in the middle of Christmas manufacturing, so we can't have him. But the remaining three that are normally here are here, so we're safe. Starting us off, line three, top left, James Rickards, shower my, man.
My God, I've made it to the top left-hand window at last.
Yeah, no, you'll be gone as soon as Doc comes back.
I'm sure it's an order of importance. Yeah, line four, Jim, as you are. As you are. lovely to be here again. I've rushed back from my Christmas shopping. I've been out since 8:30 this morning, doing what you do in December, walk the cold streets trying to find gifts for people you don't really care too much about.
Everyone who gets a present from you is going to be happy this year then, now when there is this.
Oh, bugger them. Nobody's getting nothing this year. Mr. Grumpy's in town.
Bah, humbug, dude.
I love it, really. Good to be here.
No, you don't. You're a liar. I got told off. My daughter said, she came down and said, hey, lady, play Christmas music on the 1st of December. It's like, you're not having Christmas till the 1st of December. That's it. There's a moratorium on Christmas till 1st of December. And the first thing she did when she came downstairs for breakfast was, hey, lady, play Christmas music. I'm like, oh, God, here we go.
It's the start.
Daddy, you're always so grumpy. No, I'm not.
You've just been around a long time to hear a lot of Christmas carols.
Yeah, exactly, because they don't put anything bloody new on. It's still what's his name? Not Fergal Sharkey. He was Shaking Stevens.
Shaking Stevens, the classic. God. How old is she now, Ewan?
Bryony, 9.
So you think she's only been on this planet for 9 years, and she's probably only got about sort of 6 of those she's starting to remember and recall all these Christmas things. You've had, what, 40 years?
Yeah, she's probably listened to Shaking Stevens' Merry Christmas, Everyone, about 9 million times.
Maybe she's done 40 years of recordings then already.
I don't think I've ever heard that song.
What?
Your life's not empty, don't worry.
Shaking
Stevens.
Oh my God.
He was a bit of an Elvis wannabe, but he did have his own kind of style, and he was actually reasonably good as well, so.
Yeah, good to be here. So miserable. That's nice. You got your family.
Green Door.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, no. And the one about the World War One.
That's
a classic.
Song.
And
Oh, Julie, which is my wife's name, obviously, yeah. So she knows that one.
And Fairy Tale in New York. That's a classic. That's brilliant. Next to him, Jeff Gamet, the man who has yet to discover Shaking Stevens.
See, my problem is I live on the wrong continent.
Oh, no. Well, when Christmas is on and Shaking Stevens is blaring out in our kitchen, no, you're not.
Oh, well, then lucky me.
You're on the right continent, mate.
Yeah. I do, however, have in my mug tea from the UK.
From your trip over.
Yes. I hope it's, you consider it good tea because it's like, better than anything I can get here.
As far as I'm aware, the only tea that we've got in the UK is Yorkshire tea. The rest is all imported.
So the brand. I hope the brand is good. It's called Clipper.
Never heard of
it. Oh, yes. No, it's good. That's
good. Oh, no, Clipper tea, yeah.
Really good.
Clipper tea, yeah.
And once I finish off the whole box, I'm going to have to... Well, I'm already on the hunt trying to figure out where I can find this in the United States. And apparently it's really difficult to get here.
We'll have to have a care package.
Yeah.
It's, oh my God, it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful tea.
A care package will be winging its way towards you. And we expect Spirit Hound gin in return.
That seems only fair.
Yeah, exactly. One bag of tea bags over to Jeff, and then we get a whole bottle of gin back in. Yes, results.
Well, you know, it's I'm not seeing any problem with this scenario.
That's like where you come over and you just open your wallet and we just take out 50 quid for something that's only five. That's exactly what that was just then. Exactly. And last but by no means least, William Green.
Hello.
Freshly washed, scrubbed yes. balls.
Arse slapped.
As he admitted to in the start.
Well, obviously.
That powdered bottom. Nappy on.
I am all clean in the nether regions. Bum and balls are all rosy pink and smell beautiful. I'm told. And Jeff, here's one thing though. As an American, advice from Britain is: do you put your milk in first or milk in second?
Second.
Great question.
Oh, good.
Yes, good man.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Welcome. Yeah.
My big problem, other than now realizing Clipper is a very difficult brand to find in the United States, is that I live at a high enough altitude that I can't get the water as hot as it's supposed to be. My water boils several degrees lower than sea
right.
level.
Okay, because you're at altitude, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, the water thing is a bit of bollocks, isn't it?
No, because it burns the tea, you see. The tea, and if you put water...
No. The water's already in the tea. I'm talking about the milk. Sorry, I said water, didn't I? Yeah, milk. The milk first or milk second thing's just a pile of bollocks.
I have heard that, but I'm not a tea expert.
My understanding was that the reason that it evolved was because you had delicate China teacups, or the Victorians did. They made thinner and thinner teacups, like Apple make thinner and thinner phones. And they were cracking, so they suggested putting the milk in first so that it would take some of the temperature out and not crack the china. And that's where the milk first thing came from. And then it was just a debate, like jam on cream or cream on jam with scones. So scones. Oh Jesus, what a
screw. You've opened up a bucket of worms there, mate.
I'll be getting emails.
Jeez.
Boil the water in a pressure cooker, says Muller. That'll solve your problems.
You know, I thought about that, but I'm not sure how I can safely get the water back out.
That's a lot of effort.
Release the pressure?
Yeah. So. Well, the pressure cooker that I have access to, I think that when I release the pressure, the water's just all going to shoot out as steam.
Everyone's sitting here going, oh, Jesus Christ, they have to share pressure cookers in America. The pressure cooker I have access to, it's communal.
It's communal, yes. It is literally a communal pressure cooker.
We keep it.
It's like stone knives and bear skins living on this continent.
We thought you just had laundry down in the basement that you had to share, but you don't. You have to share cooking utensils in the basement as well as.
Yeah, it's at least we've moved beyond party lines for phones.
Have you got a toilet at the end of the hall?
Actually, yes, I do.
No, that's in your hall, not as in the communal hall.
Oh, well, true. But where I live, at one point, that was a communal hall bathroom because this was a boarding house. So I'm in what was someone's entire apartment, and room on the other side was another apartment. So, yeah, I guess in that sense, I have a communal bathroom.
Excellent. I did some work for the army years ago, and I turned up late for my room, and it's a big long story about how I got into my room, but then I had to go and have a shower, and the showers were communal, so the officer's area where I was billeted, I had to go and shower, and I just wandered in there thinking there was one. I thought there was all men, and that was it, and it wasn't. It was mixed. So I went in the wrong room.
That's jolly.
I went and showered, fun. And a lady came in to shower, and I was like,
surprise,
wrong one. I did shower with Chesterfield ladies team as well once, because I refereed them, and there was only one place to shower, and that was in the main changing rooms, which was with the ladies. But I'm pretty sure none of them were interested in me. But moving on.
Well, we'll find out in about 10 years' time, and they tell them how how upset they are about the whole thing.
The week in Apple, what's going on then? It's absolutely galling and gutting that Patrice is not here today. He's got a meeting that his boss has called, and it would be the week that Apple Pay launches in Germany.
Woo! Joy of joys.
Oh, man. I really, really, really wanted to take the piss out of him for that. But he's not.
Late to the game, but they're going to certainly make some money now, aren't they?
Oh, mate. I mean, since Apple Pay launched, Hitler had invaded in Poland and left. In the same time. So...
I know we had, as I said, we had it in France almost from day one. It felt like, you know, I was using it in the UK when I was working at Apple. I was using it straight away. You know, we couldn't wait to go down to our local Boots and start zapping our Apple Watch all over the place. And when I moved to France, I was really worried I wouldn't be able to use it, but they were straight on board with it. So it was great.
I think the UK is the biggest take-up of Apple Pay in the world, isn't it?
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah,
It was glorious when I was over there. Just
really?
Apple Pay everywhere. Yeah, it's crazy. Apple Pay launched first in the United States, and it feels like a total Luddite country for contactless payment systems.
But you've always been behind us with chip and PIN as well. You're still signing Target and stuff like that. When I was there for Macworld in 2014.
Hasn't changed.
Yeah, that's not changed. So,
yeah,
no, not good.
But a combination of sort of Stokart and Apple Pay. Really, it's somewhere, some pub or other, and it's a chain of pubs have said no cash. We're done with that. It's either chip and PIN or it's Apple Pay. And that's that. So we are seeing really we're going to rely more and more on our iPhones or Android devices to stuff.
I'm kind of surprised actually that America hasn't gone far more with chip and PIN and electronic payment methods, because they've got a bigger problem with counterfeit currency than any other nation in the world. And Uncle Sam would really, really love to stop cash jobs and love you to not be carrying your roll around and be actually able to track the money via electronic payment methods. So it seems really ridiculous that America is so far behind when it's probably got the biggest need.
I agree. It's absolutely crazy. I go into restaurants around where I live, and some of them are cash only.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And there's one that's just like a couple blocks from me, and they do awesome food, but you have to take cash because they do not take cards at all.
Well, you know why that is, don't you?
Of course. Yeah. It makes it a lot easier to report what you want for taxes as opposed to what you're actually making.
Yeah. In the UK, we find that most Chinese restaurants take cash only. That's what I found anyway in my kind of thing of living here. It's cash in Chinese restaurants.
There was a period of time where you didn't want to pay with your card in a Chinese restaurant because it would end up being used in China then.
True. Yeah, true.
The other story, that's gone on way longer than I thought it would. I was only going to take the piss. Samsung has killed a headphone jack despite the fact that it took the piss out of Apple something rotten.
Oh. It just kills you, doesn't it?
There is justice in the world, isn't there?
So Samsung put notches on phones after talking smack about Apple, and now they're yanking their headphone jacks too. Is this the first phone Samsung has done that to? I thought they already had one that didn't have a headphone jack.
No, they had one that was waterproof, but it still had a jack.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of one of the Google phones then.
Some of the manufacturers definitely came out with no jack. So that was quite nice to see, because they kind of took the Apple road as it were. But as I said, as always, you know, Samsung on trying to jump in front of everybody else and go, oh, you need this, and then slowly but surely The notch thing always made me laugh, though. You know, that minute that became a thing in the news, something to moan about, etc. It's just rubbish, isn't it? Nobody will say anything now about it. It'll be in the news, and it'll be old news by tomorrow. Nobody will be paper. Forgotten.
Tomorrow's chip paper, mate.
Exactly, mate.
Samsung are ditching the notch, aren't they? I think.
Well, they only did it to make it look like Apple anyway, so.
Yeah, I know, but they're ditching the notch and they're going for like a tiny little camera in the top left, I think it is.
So they're replacing it with a slice.
There's a few jumping on the bandwagon. So there's the camera, instead of being on the notch or whatever it is, it's the top left little camera that sort of preserves the sort of the artistic look of the thing.
Yeah. I've got to say, I don't find my notch as offensive as I used to. And I actually find the utilization of the two little ears very good by Apple. But yeah, it's still not pretty. You can't dress it up. It's a pig in a dress, isn't it?
I think it's going to be one of those things that when they finally put the camera and all those bits under the glass, that suddenly the notch will be the big thing that nobody wants again. At the moment, we're all living with it and it's fine. And, you know, this is where I hold the phone. I put my thumb normally there when I'm watching a film, etc. So it doesn't really bother me. But I can see, you know, Apple obviously in maybe a year or two just going, yeah, so we managed to put it all under the thing and now look. Again, another selling point. This is why you want the new phone. It's not got a notch. Look, it's all behind the glass. And we know we're not that far away from it. I'm sure in a lab somewhere it already exists. So,
I got to say, the purchase of the iPhone XS Max for me was kind of, I don't need it. The 7's doing me fine. There's a little bit of hand-me-down issue, but actually, I probably don't need to buy this. And I was a bit dubious whether I should have bought it. But now, 3 or 4 months down the line, no regrets. Absolutely no regrets. I'm really chuffed. I changed the phone and I really love this phone. It is easily the best phone that Apple have ever made. And I know that's a stupid statement, but...
No, it's not. I think, you know, you, like all of us, you've gone through the phones, you know, and you stuck at a certain one, which you were happy with. I say every week, the iPhone 7 for me was that phone. I kind of had a eureka moment. The camera seemed to be on point. It was everything I wanted it to be. It was light. Only the battery was a problem. So I bought the Apple battery pack and made the iPhone 7 last twice as long. Other than that, I thought the iPhone 7 was the pinnacle of Apple's technology, and I would be happy if it stayed at that point. As it is, the iPhone 10's now in my hands, and of course... Yeah, what an amazing phone.
Jeff's paying attention because he's watching Shaking Stevens.
What is wrong with this video? Seriously.
I'm into it a full minute.
I stopped it at 54 seconds and they still hadn't begun a song.
Is they're throwing polystyrene balls at each other with snow. Oh, that's what's happening.
I still remember that video. Yeah, there's like a almost like a backstory begins.
Montage. Yeah,
it's like a mom and a kid getting on an airplane.
Yeah, I mean, yes. With the, you remember Owner of the Lonely Heart? Yes. Owner of the Lonely Heart.
I do remember that.
Oh yes,
that
was good tune. Yeah,
that was the first video. Because, I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody was just 13 minutes long anyway, so it didn't matter. But Owner of the Lonely Heart was the first one that tried to be a feature film. And that was it then. Everyone in the 80s tried to make longer and longer videos to go with songs.
Oh, you got to say Thriller, though. No, Thriller was
another one that was like supposed to be, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Owner of the Lonely, Only the Lonely Heart was the first one that was definitely, because that was before Thriller by a mile.
Oh, okay.
I think. I'm going to be corrected, I'm sure, but
Thriller's 81, isn't it? I
don't know. Someone wiki it while we're on the line.
I thought Thriller was maybe Thriller was 81. I thought it was a little bit later than that.
82.
A long time ago. And I don't 82. Even
1982, mate. Just
82, Jesus.
There you go. I knew it was 81, 82.
56 years ago.
I was trying to. What?
56 years ago. I'm not very good at maths.
I was going to say, hang on a minute. I'm really good at maths. I couldn't read.
No, I'm really good as maths, as long as you don't have to go backwards over a 10. Then I'm crap.
Oh, okay. I'm just rubbish full stop, mate. Don't worry about it. November 30th, 1982.
Ming Choi Koi,
Min Chu Kuo.
Kuo says, iPhone XR demand has been lower than expected, and Apple has slashed their shipment estimates. Been lower than expected, according to the analyst, and it looks like there's going to be 38 to 42 million iPhones in the quarter, down from the estimate of 47 to 52 million iPhones. And I just thought it'd be good to have a little discussion about what we expect from this phone, because it was supposed to be the budget phone, in inverted commas, which wasn't particularly budget at 700 plus quid. But the 5C wasn't great because of the fact it was a bit of a shit phone, whereas this one absolutely isn't a shit phone. I would have thought the uptake was an awful lot higher. I thought there'd be but the massive demand for it. But as Muller said, he walked in and got his straight away.
Yeah, I visited the Apple store last week in Birmingham, got there super early and came out around, went back about lunchtime. You know, it's not a massive buzz in there that I would normally expect to see, especially this time of year, because the Christmas market's on, etc. I expect to see a massive buzz. But I think, seriously, that the next 2 or 3 weeks of this December will absolutely be throwing them at the people as they walk through the door. This is going to be, you remember, again, people getting paid as well. That's a big thing. I think this phone's going to do really well because, as you said, this is no slow phone. This is a great phone for the money. The screen is fantastic. And again, the color choice, this is what the kids want as well, you know. And there will be parents putting their hands in the pockets this Christmas time and buying those very lucky children an iPhone. And I think, you know, it's going to do well. It really is.
You know, everything that Ming-Chi Kuo publishes, I take with a very big grain of salt, because he has a pretty solid track record of being wrong. But when he gets it right, I mean, he totally nails it. But that's not the norm for him. But anecdotally, every time I've been in an Apple store since the new models came out, I have seen several people leaving the store with brand new phones. Mm-hmm. So it's very consistent. Doesn't matter what day of the week, what time of the day, there are people leaving the store with brand new phones all the time.
Yeah, they're not going to lose out. I mean, Apple's not you know, fretting itself, I don't think, unless it's bought ahead on its supply chain to get a good deal on costs, and it's now going to lose out on that. But
well, we're going to see the biggest period now. Obviously, you know, we've got the remainder of December. Then, of course, everybody we know these days has money for Christmas. You know, gone the days of actually putting something in a box and putting under the Christmas tree, for God's sake. You know, I've got nieces and nephews who want just money, you know. And come January again, you know, people will be looking out for those bargains, those deals. And I think it's going to be strong right up to, you know, right, well and truly into the middle of January, at least. You know, and then I'd expect to see some fall off around them. But I mean, you must know that these kids, they just want the money these days, right?
Yeah, Ellis has asked for money and games, that's it. He's not interested in getting anything else.
And you also know, you know, like, as we get older, guys, you know that this build up to Christmas, we'll go and buy them that latest game, and then Boxing Day sales, boom, there you go, 30% off that game you bought them at Christmas. So what my kids are wise that, luckily they're older, they're 22 and 25. So they know that actually, if they do get money, they'll actually get more for their money after Christmas anyway. You know, yeah. So a lot of people will be playing on that as well. So I think this phone's going to be a stonker, I really do. And I said, having seen it now and picked it up and looked at it, it's a cracker. It really is.
My only concern this period is the fact that Bryony's asked for a Nintendo Switch because one of her friends has got one. And we've got it for her, but I am just, that's going to be a doorstop inside 3 months. I can't see her playing it.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, my little boy, he had one last year and he's still playing with it
pretty
much every day. So you'd be surprised.
And he's the same age, isn't he? 9, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think Nintendo Switch is a very niche thing. You've got, you know, you've got adults, you know, who loved that gadget. I know when I was seeing was at the Apple store, you know, a lot of my friends were buying them. Yes, they were probably 10 plus 15 years younger than me, but they were loving them. You know, these are people with iPhones in their pockets, but the Switch is something else. It's a, you know, it's the Zelda in your pocket, isn't it? Have you played with one yet, Ewan? Have you actually had a go?
No, I haven't. So
okay. So I'll tell you, if you put your hands on one and actually had a play, the screen is fantastic. And when you dock it and then you can carry on back from where you were, what a genius move there by, you know, Nintendo, because let's face it, Nintendo, it would always seem to be dying every year that goes past. Nintendo seems to get a little bit weaker, but with that device, it's just was it about 249 now?
Can't remember.
And you think you're getting a gadget A for your pocket and a gadget for your home as well, so it's a really good deal. It's a really good deal and a good gadget. I'd love one myself, but you know, it's a want, not a need.
Fair enough.
But it's nice that the controllers can be taken out as well, and you can use them as controllers and plug it into your TV as well. It's really clever.
Yeah.
Bea'll love it. I know she will.
It's that one of those pieces of technology that's come on along, you know, was it last year? I think it came out and really made you feel like, wow, things are actually moving a little bit. You know, a little bit more modern, you know, we're actually seeing.
That's what the Wii did, didn't it? I mean this isn't the big show. We're supposed to be dealing with Mac news, but the Wii kind of did that, and then it died off, and then they have come up with, like you said, James, you know, they've been innovative repeatedly, but for some reason, those great innovations have not lasted. They've not had and the thing is as well with Nintendo, with the Wii, for example, you'd have thought, oh, right, well, everyone's going to go on with the Wii thing now. And yeah, okay, PlayStation brought out the hand paddles and that kind of stuff, but all of those games, as far as I know, have fallen by the wayside. No one gives a toss about that interaction anymore. And yet Wii Bowling is still the best game ever invented.
Oh my God, yes.
for a family, still.
Oh, and the Wii Lego games, oh my God.
Well, they got a bit repetitive, but yes.
Yeah,
I mean, this is where somewhere, you know, when we look at Apple TV, where Apple really do seem to be missing a trick, they should employ somebody to be running that app store. I mean, when was the last time you opened up your Apple TV and thought, I know, I'll jump on the app store and see if there's anything new? Yeah, none of us have. I bet none of you have gone to Apple TV and looked at the app store recently, have you?
The game I play the most on Apple TV is F1 2015, because you can use a controller like a steering wheel. And it's brilliant. Yep. The rest of them, just shite.
Yeah. And there must be somebody, you know, with Apple trying to push, and this is the thing, Apple going into movies and TV shows, and that's a big story at the moment, and sort of Apple news you hear about them trying to almost be as good as Netflix, if you like. That's what the rumors have you believe. Look at the gaming market. You know, we know we can go from our Apple TV straight back to our iPhone, to our iPad, and still be playing that same game across all three devices. Yeah, it's something that we don't do. We're not used to doing it yet, and I wonder why that hasn't happened, because, you know, it's now 4K HDR. Fantastic. You know, you've got a shiny iPhone, shiny new iPad. Where is that cross-compatibility with the games that make you go, God, I want to get this on my TV as well? It's just not there, and it's kind of like Apple really should be pushing that as a games console. It's an incredible waste of time. I mean, I just bought a new 4K TV a few months ago.
On the Apple TV would clean up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. I mean, the thing is, what's the Apple TV got going for it? I mean, I bought a new TV now, like most people. You've got 4K Netflix built into your TV. You've got a web browser built into it. You know, a TV that you'll buy these days will have everything you want. It actually in the screen now. So your Apple TV really for me is got the App Store, which I don't use, and obviously my iTunes library of films, which I do buy films from iTunes. So that, but equally I can run them from my laptop and AirPlay them to the Apple TV. So really I'm still not using the Apple TV as that kind of digital hub that they probably think or wish we used it for.
We shall see, but it's underused. I think the Apple TV is vastly underused.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know how much I want to talk about this one, but I'll give it a go. Apple warns Chinese iPhone ban would force a settlement with Qualcomm. So Qualcomm have got a successful injunction against the sale of the 6 and the 6S in China, which I don't know how big that market is anyway, but they're going after the 10 and the 10R and the 10S, which is, if that goes through, that means that, that there's going to be massive losses of sales in China. Chinese government is going to lose loads of tax income from it, from Apple, according to Apple. So there's a surprise. And, because of that, if they actually managed to enforce a ban, Apple would have to pay Qualcomm, and it would cost. It would make the phone unviable as a cost in China and potentially in the world.
Now, I saw something this morning that I haven't had a chance to follow up on yet, that Apple is releasing a firmware update for iPhones in China that totally negates Qualcomm's claim. And right. That's supposed to be coming out the next few days.
Well, the patent dispute is something to do with editing photos as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's...
locked in a patent battle over chip-related license fees, but the current issue instead stems from separate patents that cover allowing users to adjust and reformat the size and appearance of photos and managing applications using a touch screen when viewing and navigating apps, which seems... I'm surprised if Qualcomm have got that as a full patent. Well, they surely have got it as a full patent, but that I would have thought prior art was there with Star Trek.
Yeah.
Because Leonard Nimoy used to touch a screen and manipulate apps.
Yeah.
That's prior art.
Mm-hmm. all right, I found that the Reuters article about Apple doing a firmware update. So it's in the chat room now.
Excellent. If you want to know any of the stories that we've got on the big show, or you want to know the cool things and that kind of stuff, or you want to click and find out Jeff's story there about the firmware update, britishtechnetwork.com/chat and navigate to the day when the show is recorded. Today is the 14th of December. So enjoy. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of a story that is, and I don't tend to stick around patent stuff because it's boring. But but Apple seems to affect, if that's acceptable, then that seems an interesting way to get around it.
Yeah, and apparently the firmware update comes out next week.
Okay. Have we done enough on that?
I think it's all points to that same old thing that we know, that Apple, you know, are and will be making all their own chips eventually. If not, there've been labs now being tested. So, you know, all this stuff will be a distant memory very, very soon because they're making all their own stuff. Yeah. So, you know, it's, we're probably again, this will be one of those stories we'll look back and go, oh, remember that when Apple used to not make their own chips? You know, it's going to seem bizarre, really. Because we soon forget, don't we?
Yeah, apparently Wind Rider's just identified that there's another story on Ars Technica that says Qualcomm seeks broader China ban as Apple pushes out software updates. So your cutting-edge story is no longer cutting-edge 30 seconds afterwards, Jeff. Bad luck, mate. Such is tech.
Well, that's life in the age of the internet.
Yeah. James, major culture shift for Apple moving away from hardware first mindset, same as Microsoft moving away from Windows first mindset with Azure and services, says Deepan. But it has to be done. And James says he hears him in the chat room. Apple Music Connect is going to shut down, suffering the same fate as iTunes Ping. I never even knew about Apple Music
Connect.
No. That's the first time I've heard about it, isn't the story about it closing down?
You know, I remember when Apple did the Apple Music Connect announcement, and as they were making the announcement, I thought, okay, so Apple finally is getting how to do a social network sort of thing. They learn from Ping, and then they explain what the whole thing is, and I'm like, it's dead.
They never heard anything yet. Was that the one that Eddie Q was like, it was like a 2¾-hour presentation from Apple, and it went on and on and on. That's where I switched off. Boring. That's why I've never heard of it.
Yeah. You know,
and you two stole everyone's music at the end.
Yeah. Basically, what it amounted to was a way for musicians to advertise to their fans.
Yeah,
because there was no interaction allowed. It was just the bands and artists, they could post stuff, and that's just not compelling.
If I remember, Jeff, though, you were able to like it, so they knew they sort of had a fan base through that service. So the idea is you could sort of post it, but the promise was that the artists would, as you said, upload lyrics, tell you about all the gigs before they were released. And there was, it was supposed to connect us with the artists, but you kind of think, well, yeah, that doesn't Twitter do that, and doesn't Facebook kind of do that already? And it was, as you said, it was going to go nowhere before it even took off, you know. I never used it.
I did.
Apple does not get at all how to do social.
It doesn't get how to do TV either. Oh, hang on, there was supposed to be a slick change there. Segway 55. I'll edit, don't worry. Apple orders J.J. Abrahams produced series My Glory Was I Had Such Friends, starring Jennifer Garner. Now, I got to admit, I've got a bit of a soft spot for, it's not very soft actually, for Jennifer Garner. She's gorgeous.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, My Glory Was I Had Such Friends is the memoir of Amy Silverstone, who had a heart transplant, second life-saving heart transplant. But there's a bit of me, when I read this story, I was kind of, oh, that's quite interesting, and oh, Jennifer. This just looks like, hang on, you've got Jennifer Garner, who's probably cost you a pretty penny. You've got J.J. Abrahams and Bad Robot, who is definitely costing you a pretty penny. And this is probably going to be something that's going to tank. Apple is going, you know, you look at the kind of stuff that Netflix produced at the start and Amazon Prime produced at the start. It wasn't high budget stuff. It was just really good programming with a few decent names tagged on. And they got real traction, and then they started make big productions that are equally as good. But this just looks like chuck money at it, and we're not getting anywhere. Chuck some more money at it. Chuck some more. Apple seems to have got this, because they've got their war chest, they're thinking, let's throw it into content and let's make stuff, and they're just failing constantly. And I can't see this getting anywhere.
Yeah. And the thing is with all this is the danger is you get a company like Netflix, you know, a bit like Amazon, if you like. Netflix goes, imagine if we made our own set-top box and we decided to, you know, let people buy it and make it like $10 to buy the set-top box, and then suddenly pull it from every other platform. You know, Apple, pull it from everybody else. And that's what they could do. You know, look at Amazon. Who'd have thought that their little Echoes would be in everybody's house? You know, and I think, like you said, it seems that they can't do right, just can't do right by any of this. So and it's frustrating.
Here's my thought, and I'm going to take the abuse that's probably rightly thrown at me. I'm sure Amy Silverstone is an amazing woman with an amazing story to tell. And if I sat and watched this, I'd probably walk away going, my God, what an amazing story.
Probably.
But how many people are going to want to sit and watch this? Probably none. It's like, it's almost like it's a hospital pass to J.J. Abrahams. It's like make something fantastic around this storyline that 90% of people aren't going to want to see.
My guess is that it will play well in the United States. We have entire networks on cable that are dedicated to the feel-good, sappy story.
Right, okay.
But outside the United States, I don't know. You know, I think some of the content that Apple's going to have on their TV network is going to be top-notch. And some of it, it's just not going to pan out. And I expect that of any content producer. Amazon, Netflix, they've all had stuff that's worked and stuff that hasn't. Mm. But Apple, man, any show that they have that doesn't work, they're going to get raked over the coals for it in a way that Amazon, Hulu, and Netflix never have.
But using a baseball analogy, what's the at-bat average for those other two show houses compared to Apple? You know, they're batting 300. Apple's batting 120.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we're assuming, because we haven't seen any of the shows yet. So I'm going to hold out judgment, and I'm not using Planet of the Apes as a base for this, because
although it did set a trend.
it's certainly raises concern. But that's not a show that was created or produced by the people that Apple hired to actually make their network happen.
Deep Pan has put, here's the test. If you saw that program show up on Netflix as you were going through, would you scroll straight past? I know I would.
And that's the thing, it's also getting people to know that it exists. You know, I've already just mentioned about switching your Apple TVs on and actually going to the AV button and going, Apple TV A button. You've got to get people to find out about it. And that's another thing that they don't seem to be very good at as well, is letting us know about this sort of content. Especially, I mean, okay, for us, we're geeks, we aren't that audience, but how do you get the average person to go, oh, if I switch on my Apple TV or get my iPhone out, I can watch this? You know, where do we see those adverts on the side of buses that tell us about Planet of the Apes? I don't remember seeing that at all.
Well, they spent so much money getting Gwyneth Paltrow on, didn't they? That's the trouble. The budget went.
Oh, yeah, man.
It's like they've got all these things that they could do. As I said, going back to the Apple TV, you know, making that a viable game platform and getting people interested in making a game machine for the front room. This all stems back from, you know, media. Why aren't they good at media in that sort of way? You know, I don't know. Somebody needs to grab all of it by the balls.
Following on from the media, oh, sorry, William, were you going to say something?
No, what I was going to say is when I was working at Apple Exeter, that's when they released iTunes movies and stuff like that. They released it with a load of, it was basically old movies. And it took a long time to grow, and eventually it's got there. So maybe it's going to be the same with the sort of homegrown content. Although I think they, I don't know, it seems to be possibly a lot of money. So we've already got Amazon Prime. We've already got Netflix. Why do Apple have to join in too? I can't quite figure it, you know.
Because there's money in it.
And it's services as well. It's all about services.
Yeah, it's about getting subscribers, because that's all they want. And there'll be an Apple TV service that you subscribe to. You pay to subscribe, you're on top of eventually. But I can't, at the moment, that it's going to be $5.99 instead of $14.99 a month, the way it's going.
Yeah. I'll tell you what annoys me.
Go on. Go on. Don't keep us waiting, boy.
Columbo.
Columbo's a classic. How dare you?
Hold on, I haven't finished.
How can you not like Columbo?
I haven't finished. I absolutely adore Columbo.
Okay, good.
And it's not on Netflix.
I have a theory.
And it's not on Amazon. So in the end, I had to buy the box set of DVDs. Why is such a classic as Columbo not available online? I don't. It annoys me.
Because people still buy it on VHS. I don't
know. But yeah, no, actually, it's all Columbo, and it really does upset me. And Jonathan Creek is another one. I love Jonathan Creek.
But I don't like Alan Davis. That's the trouble. I think I know a couple of people who have worked around him, and he's a cock.
Is he really?
Oh, he's a massive cock. He's not even slightly a cock. He's a huge cock.
Oh dear.
No, James is nodding, so he knows someone who knows him as well. Then.
That whole thing, isn't it? He's lovable rogue, isn't he? But it just gets boring, doesn't it? Ugh, boring. QI, no. Early episodes, yeah, really funny. Took the mick out of him, brilliant. But oh, it's just boring now, isn't it? It's just boring.
The person I spoke to at the BBC said he's fine when the cameras are on, and then he's an absolute prick thereafter. If you're listening, Alan, do apologise, mate.
Yeah.
Can I give you a third one?
Oh, go on.
Lovejoy. Where is Lovejoy? Why can't I watch Lovejoy?
Classics all, right. Mate. Classics all.
Well, I mean, it's Lovejoy, for God's sake. Why is that not on Amazon or any of the other sort of streaming services? It's not on there at all. ridiculous.
I tell you what, he's the mastermind in John Wick, isn't he? And he plays such a great badass, you know, in charge of the assassins.
The hotel, yeah.
in John Wick. He plays such a great role. I generally don't like that guy, I'll be honest with you, but in those two roles, he was absolutely brilliant. John Wick 1 and 2.
The thing is, Ian McShane was the quintessential stud, if you like, of the 70s, wasn't he? 60s and 70s. Every bloke wanted to be like him with a shirt open and a medallion and that kind of stuff. So he has probably done some things that most men have never dreamt of on porn films. So he's got the gravitas to be that bloke, and he doesn't give a shit. Because if you go to him and you say, oh, Ian, you're really boring in this, he's like, I've done this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's... in American Gods, and he's great in that.
Yeah, and he was great as the billionaire in Ray Donovan in season 3, I think. He really played that well. He's a good actor. He's a very good actor. I can't slag him off. He might be a complete horror of a man, but I don't know. But he's a good actor.
He had a part in The Walking Dead as well, which obviously massive show, you know, all over the world. And he had a really good part in that. And it's one of those stories that, you know, his character was really good, that you wanted to know more about him. But unfortunately, you know, like all good characters, he gets nobbled off too early.
Yeah.
But yeah, one actor.
Apple Music gets unofficial web player with full library, 4-year recommendations, and lots, lots more. Now, if you're feeling brave... Naveed Golashani has shared a new project on Reddit that's called playapplemusic.com, and it's a browser-based solution that when you open it, it gets you through to an authorization or an authentication pop-up from Apple where you can log into your Apple ID and then watch all your stuff in a browser.
I'm there.
Well, now if you're a Windows user, maybe fine, or if you're a Linux user, maybe fine. But I'm just thinking, why not? Wouldn't you use iTunes? Can't you do your Apple Music through iTunes? Or?
Wait a minute. Well, am I not? Oh, it says log in. Oh, you should have told me this beforehand. I would have had a bit of a play.
Right. Well, no. But I don't know. I mean, it's got an Apple authentication, so we're going to presume it's secure. Yes. And Naveed is not ripping off everyone's accounts. I'm sure he's a stand-up guy. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I just don't understand why you would want to use this over
the computer listening that
the iTunes that you've got loaded up already anyway.
That's a really good question.
I may be missing the obvious here, but I just don't get it. Well done, Naveed. Fantastic. Thank you very much for that. James, you've obviously made James's day. But James has also not realised that he could have just got it all through iTunes.
No. What I'm thinking of, Ewan, is if you've got a computer, maybe a really basic computer, that might actually not be good enough to run iTunes. This would be give you that player that you always wanted, maybe. I mean, I don't know, but I'm thinking if you bought some really cheap, like really honestly sub $120, you know, that didn't have enough room to store, you know, a music file on, this might be a good option to have your whole library on a just a very small computer.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm pushing it. It's a web browser. That's how iTunes works. All the stuff that you're doing through their service, it's just a web browser. So now I'm back to what Ewan's saying. Why wouldn't you just use iTunes?
I'm also a bit... I don't think I want to log into this either. I'm a bit hesitant
I'm not... Like I said, I don't want to cast aspersions on the man because let's assume that it's perfectly fine and it's perfectly safe because there's an Apple authentication that pops up that he can't see through the app. But I just don't understand why this would be so preferable, allowing Apple Music subscribers to get access to their full library and other Apple Music on the web. Great, but iTunes does that on... Isn't there a Linux version of iTunes?
Well, could it be a performance thing, though, Ewan, as well? Maybe, performance-wise, running it through a browser as opposed to an app.
Well, I suppose if you've got an Android phone and you subscribe to Apple Music, this gives you access to it there. Or is there not an iTunes for Android? I don't know if there's an iTunes for Android.
I don't think so, no.
No, I don't think so either, but...
Deep Pan's it probably works better than iTunes. He's right, because it's a nice interface already.
Yeah, all the content's more discoverable. There's no there's no front row for your movies, for a start.
Oh, love front row.
Oh, shut up about front row.
You can get Apple Music on Android.
Anchor.
Oh, there you go.
You can get Apple Music on Android. There you go. So, and it's on iLady and all that now. So I don't get it. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I think good story, Ewan, but again, I'm just a bit, ooh, I see that login button, and it's very un-Apple the way it kind of comes up, and I know you've got the authenticate. It's obviously trying to fill it in for me automatically, but I'm hesitant to go ahead and put my details in there.
I'm just going to put this one story in to finish off, because I think this is, Don McAllister would be happy at this, because I know he loved Xserve. Apple begins selling LumaForge shared servers with up to 200 terabytes of storage and prices up to 50 grand.
Yeah, finally hitting a petabyte. Is that right? Did I read that right? I read a story yesterday. Is it got to a petabyte now? Is that right?
The Jellyfish rack tops out at 200 terabytes for $49,000. So.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're running some brilliant video distribution, you know, in-house kind of motion graphic company that would require that sort of storage. It's fantastic that it exists.
I've got about 80 terabytes. Well, no, I've probably got more than that. I've probably got about 100 to 120 terabytes of stuff of storage here. And it hasn't cost me 50 grand, though. And I've got duplicates of it all, so.
Yeah, but you know, some companies who are starting off will probably see this as a very simple system to set up and get up and running. They kind of probably won't look at those alternatives when you've got that sort of money to spend on a backup system like that. It's fantastic. I love it. I love the fact that this stuff exists, because the minute it exists, it means that somebody else will look at it and try and make a cheaper version of it, which is always good for us consumers at the end of the day.
Cheaper version of 200 terabyte single storage unit.
200 terabytes. That's one, insane.
That's one big NAS to get done by some ransomware.
Yeah. I think I remember buying my first, 20 gigabyte hard drive, and it was £100. And I remember just standing there going, oh my God, I'm about to drop £100 on a computer thing, you know. And I look back now, I think 20 gig, it's nothing, is it? I think that's the first time I'm paying for storage just for the sake of buying more storage seemed to be a lot of money.
Yeah, no, I got a drive from a project that they were clearing everything out, and they said, "Oh, help yourself to anything in the room." And I got like a power strip that's on the back of a thing over there. And as I was searching through the stuff, I found this hard drive, and I looked at it, and it was 2 gig. And I'm like, wow, 2 gig. This was about 2002, something like that. Oh, I'm having that. So I put that in my bag. And then the company who owned it sent, it was a Siemens project, they sent Siemens a bill for the drive because the drive had gone missing. And they were like, tough, it was in the room, all gone. And they don't even know that I had it. But,
wow.
So, there you go.
For full Christmas... I haven't got a lot of money, and my little lad really wants a Mac for Christmas, so I'm just going to give him mine, which I won't lie, it's breaking my heart, but I'm going to do it anyway. And in the past, you think, well, if you're giving your Mac away, you're selling it and buying a new one or something like that, How do you back up, and you back up onto external drives? But I think things have changed so much that I'm confident that all my stuff is backed up to both iCloud and also to Google, which is sort of it's almost freedom in a way, isn't it? So you know, wherever you go in the world or whatever you do, you've always got access to your to your documents and invoices and whatever else it is. Contact.
I love iCloud. I've got my accounts stuff on iCloud, and I keep a backup as well. But I'm quite happy that I've got it on iCloud. It feels pretty safe.
Yeah, it is. And I've done belt and braces. I do iCloud and Google.
Hmm. Good stuff, mate. This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. Please support them if you can. And now you say support, and we used to be about, you know, please buy stuff from them and use the offer codes and that kind of stuff. That's not what TSO host want from us. All they want from us is brand recognition. All you have to do is go onto social media and say, at TSO host, thank you for supporting at British Tech. That is it. Love your services. Thanks at TSO host from Fred at British Tech. Anything like that would be absolutely great. Brand recognition is all that they seek. If you would like to buy any hosting services, they're a great provider as well. I've got all my stuff with them. And you get the offer code BTN20, and BTN will get you 20% off all the hosting services that they offer. So please, please, please make sure you take to social media, any of the platforms, and say, thanks at TSO host for supporting at British Tech. And thanks also to Wirecast. They provide the software that we've got here that does all the switching and that kind of stuff. And now I've got me nice little Stream Deck thing. It's absolutely beautiful, dead easy to use. So please, again, support them and go on Twitter or that kind of thing and say, at Telestream, thank you very much for supporting at British Tech. And thanks to Hoya as well, not just for the fact that they give me the show glasses that I use for VDU use, but also that I met with Mark Coulshaw this week, and he took my other Unikus back and has made some, he's getting some adjustments made to them. And you're all going, hang on, I thought Uniku glasses were unique and they were tailor-made for you. Yes, they were. They were tailor-made for a fat bastard, not me, because I'm a bit thinner now.
Yay!
And they're the bridge of the nose has shrunk, and they're sitting down a bit more and that kind of stuff. So Mark's getting them all sort of tweaked around. So hopefully they'll be back before Christmas. Otherwise, I've got my old dragon's ear, which are okay. Don't get me wrong, I quite like these still, but I do want the Unikus back. If you want Unikus, send an email to podcast@hoya.co.uk and Mark will roll out the BTN red carpet treatment for you. Wherever you are in the country, he will point you to your nearest Uniku machine and you can get a set of absolutely gorgeous and wonderful glasses. I literally have 4 or 5 times a week people come up to me and go, I love your glasses. I love your glasses. Where can I get your glasses? Where can I get those type of glasses? Loads. I went to a construction thing last week and I sat down next to this lady and she went, hi, I'm Laura. I meant, hi, I'm you. And she went, where'd you get your glasses? Not even, what do you do? How are you? None of that. Just give us your glasses. Give us your dressy glasses, please.
That's the worst chat of mine I've ever heard.
She was a happily married lady with an 18-month-old. How dare you, William? Right. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Jimmy boy.
Hello, everybody. I've got obviously lots of friends who rely on me for tech information, and I've got a really good friend who does some great stuff for charity stuff, and he runs a disabilities thing for people wants to play rugby and sport and all that sort of stuff. So he takes people with all sorts of disabilities, and he helps them to get into sport, which I love, and that's his full time job. And the other day he sent me a text and said, "Look, Jim, I've got a guy here who is looking to have or be able to have an app that does his speaking for him." So think about the way, you know, sort of Stephen Hawking's does his speech. So, and I started to remember that when we went to Apple, we were given a code for a piece of software, and it's called ProLoQ2Go. ProLoQ2Go. I think that's the way you say it. Okay. So I put the thing inside there. And what it does, so I've loaded this onto an iPad that I've got. And it gives you what looks like a soundboard. Okay. Now, it's just absolutely phenomenal. This is going to give people a voice. And it's done by using these stick man icons. And you'll see in the top of the screen there, it's got this massive, nice, clear bar. This runs on the iPhone as well, by the way. And the idea is that you can build up these really cool animations.
I see you. I see you.
Okay. Right. Now, what's also good is that my friend obviously helps adults and he also helps kids. So this has over 100 voices built in. So you've got little kids' voices. They don't, kids don't have to have sort of using adults' voice. So they've got like American kids. They've got UK kids, boys and girls. But over 100 voices, and they're all built in. Well, you download them via this app, so they're all part of the price. Now, the price point is expensive. But let's think about what we're doing here. We give in, people who can't speak a voice. So to me, that's kind of priceless, really. Mm. So it's a great gadget. It's actually €279. That's 249 English pounds, or $249 as well. But it's the most amazing app that I've ever come across. And I'm so glad that you was able to ask me if I knew something, because as far as I know, this is one of the coolest and easiest to use a soundboard. It also uses sort of force touch. So if you're looking at sort of go, if I hold that down, it actually brings up a contextual menu inside there. So it's really easy to navigate. So if ever you get asked that question, you know, which is pretty, you know, left field, is what app can you recommend for somebody who can't speak? That's certainly one of them to remember. And that's my pick.
Excellent, okay, mate. Assistiveware.com/products/proloquo2go.
Go.
Two being the number.
It's just a good app to have, you know, when people know you're a Mac fan and know you love your iPhone, this is the Mac show, that you can say, do you know what? This is one of those gadgets which is good. It's doing good in the world.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Thank you. That a lot. Well done. Jeffrey, do you have a cool thing for us?
I do. It's not as life-changing as ProLoQ2Go, but it's really handy. It's called Home Run for HomeKit, and it's a app for your iPhone and Apple Watch that lets you control HomeKit scenes from your Apple Watch. So it's a $3 app. Download it to your phone, install it on your Apple Watch, and then in the app on your phone, you can choose which scenes you want to control and assign them their own little buttons, and then you can just tap the buttons on your Apple Watch to make the scenes happen. And it also supports complications. And nice. So like right now I have a complication on my Apple Watch. It's a little greenhouse right now.
It's gone off.
Oh, well, okay. Well, see if I can keep it alive long enough. No, probably not. But when I tap the button, then I get,
it's gone. As soon as you turn your wrist over, it disappears.
Yeah.
As you finish using it, Jeff.
Thank you, Apple, for designing a system where it just shuts everything off every time I move my wrist. Anyhow, well, just pretend like there was something on my watch for you to see.
There you go.
But it's nice because I now have a complication on my Apple Watch. I can tap it and control scenes, just from there.
And thank you, Brexit. $3 there, £3 here.
There you go. More nightmarish things to come.
Yeah. Good pick, mate. Good pick.
Thank you. It's very good.
William, do you have a cool thing for us?
I do, yeah. It's called Subliminal. It's for the iPhone. It's free, but as always, there's in-app stuff going on as well. Subliminal. Let me read you the blurb. When trying to make changes but get no results, there may be negative thoughts that are blocking you. Which I sort of, you know, it might sound bollocks, but I sort of believe it. Subliminal audios will send positive suggestions into your subconscious mind. Once you have a positive mindset, you may achieve positive results.
Is this made by a bloke who wants your Apple Music subscription login?
I don't know quite who makes it. Well, actually, I do know, but I'm not going to say. Subliminal. There we go.
Subliminal. If it works, it works. That's what I got. Yeah. I haven't got a problem with any of these things, as long as they're not taking vast amounts of money off you. So if it's free, then good.
Yeah, I haven't
some in-app purchases, but...
Best modeful app of the year.
Yeah, but says them.
1992.
Well, it's working for me anyway.
That was 39 years ago.
Oh, don't. It feels like yesterday. Well, that's really good, mate. I think there's some people who sit on a train day in, day out, and they dread going to their end destination to work for bloody 8 hours, and they hate what they do. They have to get back on that bloody train again. You know, I would have definitely used something like this on my little train journey backwards and forwards to Birmingham. Good pick, mate. Well done.
It is.
Thank you.
Excellent pick. I haven't got two cool things. I've got one cool thing I want to share with you because it's so cool. It's Sub-Zero, and it just, I would feel guilty if I didn't share it with everyone. NASA has a Flickr page, as you know, because they're a government organization. They have to share everything. And Jeff, I know you've seen this already, but they have released, and they've got a Flickr page called the Project Apollo Archive.
That's wonderful.
So it is all of the Project Apollo stuff, everything, all the pictures that they took, the Earthrise, the whole shebang, Apollo onwards, from one onwards, is all there. And you can sit and you can go to your heart's content through all of the mission stills that were taken and put up. Which
brilliant.
Is like, that is probably a year of my life. Even Apollo 13's on there, all the stuff, the pictures of the module blown apart and all that kind of stuff. It's absolutely brilliant. And the ones that are really cool is if you go to Apollo 16, that's the one with the geology stuff. And there's loads of really cool pictures of the geology and the colors that are underneath the surface of the moon and that kind of thing. 17 was the geology one. But there's several pages and loads of folders within each page. It is stunning. Get yourself over there. I'll put a link in the chat room right at the start of the show. So if you go and find that, you'll be happy as Larry. My actual cool thing, the heavy breathing, by the way, in case you're wondering, is James.
What?
Yeah, you're really badly heavy breathing, mate. You can have a listen to the show when you get back and it'll thing. Anyway. My cool thing, it's a suggestion for a little stocking filler as well, perhaps for someone that you love. This is the EC Technologies 22,400 milliamp hour battery available from Amazon. I'll put a link in the chat room in a minute. These are $22.95 and you get enough charges there for about 10 iPhone charges and 3 iPad Pro charges. That's what it looks like when it comes out. It's just a little tiny brick. It's not particularly huge. We love these. I own 70 of these. and the reason I own 70 of these, a grand's worth of them, is because we use them in the Sentry cameras that we put out on sites.
Okay.
And we can load up to 4 of these into a box. And with 4 of these in, a Sentry camera will run for nearly a week.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, at 3.7 volts, the drain's not too bad. And they're absolutely brilliant. And the thing, it's interesting because normally, you know me, I get raw chicken in restaurants. I go and buy a product off the shelf and I'll pick it up and it'll be faulty. I've got 70 of these and I've never had a faulty one.
Wow. You get one.
I've had a battery supplier contact me and they've told me this week that they can manufacture custom batteries for the Sentry system that'll be lighter and easier to manipulate and move and pull in and out and that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, well, I own 1,000 of these, of these LiPo ones. So that may actually happen. Everyone at the bash next year may end up getting a free charger.
Only slightly degraded asterisk.
There we go.
May have been used previously.
Is the main subliminal message in Greenie's application, buy a new watch from the House of Greenie?
Well, I was going to say, next year's bash,
well done,
you were saying you're going to be giving stuff away. I'm sure I've got enough watches to keep...
Yes!
Mate, you've got enough watches to backdate for every bash we've ever had.
I'll tell you what we might do. Why don't we do a nice little thing? I'll give away one of my courses. Will can give away one of his watches.
Oh, $9.99, you big spender.
Who?
$9.99, you big spender.
No, we could give it away as a little like package at Christmas. That'd be lovely, wouldn't it, to all our lovely fans.
You can't, so Marwood won the card cutting championships this year, and he's sitting there going, "What have I won?" And he goes, "Oh, you've won James's motion graphics package, son. Well done."
And a crap watch.
Look what and a crap watch from Dad that stops. Mine 63 stopped.
Purchases cannot be wrong. 100% feedback. Thank you very much.
When we came back from France, by the way, James, Greeny's watch had stopped. It didn't quite manage 2 weeks.
Well, you can't. It's a time zone, you see. It wasn't done for
France. The magnetic line.
Which would be a fantastic excuse, apart from the fact we left it in England. I'm not taking that abroad.
Contraband.
You know what that's
taking off on the airplane.
It is. Well, no, they see a shit watch on your wrist. They go, oh, here we go. Drug dealer, cavity search. Bend over, sir. Let our dog sniff your ass.
They're not that bad. Yeah. Well, actually, they are. They're terrible.
Was Jeff on mute then? Was Jeff trying to say something? Jeff?
No. If I did say something, I've already forgotten what it was.
I saw your mouth move, mate. Sorry. It looked like you were saying something.
I have that as well. Right, next week is the Christmas quizzes. We're going to be on Thursday if you want to come and watch live. There'll be loads of fun. Thursday the 20th, we'll have loads of people there. We're going to try and ask as many people as we can to each show, not so in the hope that we'll only get 5, but we might have 10, so we'll share up the lines and that kind of stuff. Loads and loads of people, loads and loads of questions, loads and loads of fun, and we'll have a good time here and a curry in between. That's Thursday the 20th. Make sure you come along to the live shows because it'll be a good old laugh. And
wait a minute. Have I had this? Have you told me about this yet?
I have just now.
Oh, thanks.
No. I don't know what, because we put the invites out, but I don't think you're on that invite. I don't know why. You weren't the invite for today either.
What?
You weren't on the invite for today, but I don't know why.
Jesus Christ. 2 years of my life I put into this company. 2 years.
No. That's... So the thing is, right, this is the thing. I've had a go at people. Not had a go. I've said to everyone, please, look, I know it's tough, and I know you're only coming in for voluntary and that kind of stuff, but please, could you make sure that you reply to the invitations that Muller's sending out? For this show, everyone replied, maybe. I'm like, you bastards.
Well, at least they got an invite.
Yeah, at least they got one.
I couldn't even say maybe.
You never replied to you, so why are you complaining? Oh, and Jeff's just accepted. He'd have forgotten if he hadn't.
You know, I'm going to go with,
God,
it was on my schedule to accept right now.
He's got a calendar reminder to accept the calendar reminder.
So remind me, so you're doing a live Mac show next Thursday, is that
next
correct?
Next Thursday the 20th, mate. If you would like to join us for the Christmas quiz, you are in. It's all the Mac news and questions about Apple for the year.
Mac news. Well, I'll see if I can't get my wife to come and we'll have a curry down yours.
Oh, that'd come lovely, to the it? Studio. That'd be awesome. Grinny said he can't come.
What?
Oh, Grinny said he can't come.
Oh, bloody hopeless.
So, well, yeah, no, bring Julie down because I've never met her.
Yeah, well, I've been keeping away for a reason, because once she finds out what you're like, I won't be able to play anymore.
Oh, really? I'm a bad influence.
I'll see what we can do, mate. That'd be great. Thanks for the invite, I think.
Oh, piss off. I don't do the invites. I'd have invited you. I was
sitting,
if I hadn't seen your message today in the Slack, I would have sent you a text going, are you coming today? So.
Yeah.
Right. Thanks. Anyway. So where can we get a hold of you, James?
Well, now you're interested in getting hold of me. You can get hold of me.
This is going to last a year, isn't it?
James, get me on James Twitter, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's at James Rickards. That's RICKARDS. Thank you so much.
I never know where to find you, mate. Are you in England? Are you in France?
I'm here. I'm in England, love. I'm in England, yeah, lover.
All right, mate.
Thank you.
And don't forget to plug your Udemy course.
Oh, yes, udemy.com/AppleMotion5. Some of your lovely people have bought it, actually, from the Slack room, and that's lovely. Magic Man's bought it, and I think Bob Scott has as well.
I'm sure
so
it's
thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
I put you in dog breath, James Rickards.
Well, if he's put it under dog breath, that's probably why I've not got it.
He's put, there's only 5 spaces. Okay. But yes, on a normal show. But next week we'll ask everyone that we can think of, because then we might get 2
live in the studio. Be great fun.
Jeffrey, where are you?
I'm over at textexpander.com.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting.
I know. It's like a surprise every week, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Man, I'm just loving everyone at Smile. What a great company. Also, on Twitter and Instagram, I'm Jay Gamet.
They paid you to say that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But I would have said it anyhow. So anyhow, Twitter, Instagram, I'm easy to find.
Excellent, mate. And on any podcast that's worth listening to.
That's right, which is why I'm here.
And Monsignor Green, where would you be?
BritishMac.com.
And there's a show this weekend, I gather.
Yeah, Sunday.
There'll be a show out. You're actually posting pretty regularly now.
I'm trying to sort of up the ante and stuff. So I try and get one out. Well, I get two out. One for Patreon, sort of an exclusive job, and one sort of a free one, which I put on iTunes.
Excellent, mate. Good one.
It's all good. The next Patreon one's going to be video as well.
Good God.
I know.
You sat against your radiator with no light.
Pretty much. That's the plan.
Greeny
silhouette. You're playing for this, folks.
You wait.
You can't beat a bit of no light and rolling shutter.
Well, it's going to be filmed somewhere else. I mentioned earlier that I'm giving my Mac away to my little boy. Don't worry, I'll grab another one. But I'm going to start doing the podcast until I get a new Mac and on my iPhone, entirely on my iPhone, and right. It's been quite quite interesting researching it. But when it comes to sort of how to sculpt the RSS feed sort of manually, how to use FTP on your iPhone as well to control your files and everything else. And it's been there are options that you can use. Let me find it. It's quite a famous one. Podcasts. Anchor. That's the one.
Yeah, Anchor. Yeah, it's a good one. That is, mate.
But I don't know. I don't know. So British Mac is pretty rocking and rolling in the charts at the moment. And I don't want to mess it up, really. So I prefer to stick with the traditional, you know, you record the audio, you upload the audio, and then using FTP, and then you sort of update the RSS feed or file and just upload it that way. So that's what I've been working on. So that's good. And I've enjoyed being a bit of a geek. I've enjoyed the process, and it's almost there.
Good, man. Excellent. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. We'll be back again, as we said, next Thursday for the show's Christmas quiz, and then we're going to take a break through till probably about the 10th of January. So maybe. I don't know. We'll see. See how we feel. See how work goes. Because I've got to pull cameras in on the 3rd, so we might do the 4th. Who knows? Have a great Christmas if I don't see you before, unless I see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Take care, folks.
Awesome, Phyllis. Thank you.
Was that on time?